Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are tonight. This is a big occasion because this is the final shiur that we are giving on Hilchos Tzedakah. We've been talking about Hilchos. I think this is the final shiur on Tzedakah.
Okay,
we've been talking about Hilchos. We've been talking about Hilchos Tzedakah all summer, basically. And basically, this is the last year of the summer because I am going away for my son's bar mitzvah, Mirat Hashem. So we're going to Eretz Yisrael for the next 3 weeks or so.
There won't be one next week?
Yeah, no. So there's no shiur for the next 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
I hope that Washington Heights is still around when I return. I may as well stay in Israel the whole time.
And or Mashiach could just come, right, and then we'll have the shiur in Israel.
When you return from close to Russia?
I'll be getting back like a week and a half before Rosh Hashanah or so. So we'll discuss probably Rosh Hashanah topics when I return. So let's try to make the most of the last year on Tzedakah. What I want to talk about tonight is actually what seems to be a obscure type of theoretical question, but actually has many practical implications. And that's the question as follows. Tzedakah as a neder and Tzedakah as a monetary obligation. We all know what a neder is, right? Rosh Hashanah is coming up. That's what we just said. So, kol nidrei, right? So, a neder is that I take a vow, and when I take a vow, so I have an obligation to make good on what I said. And that's a neder. There's neder shavua, 9 million expressions possibly, but the fact is, that's a neder. We know what that is. Tzedakah, in some ways, is considered a neder. No? The Gemara at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, on Davav, says, on the Pasuk, Motzas Vosecha Tishmar Va'asisa, Kasher Nadarta Lashem Alokecha Nidava, Kasher Dibarta Beficha. So Motzas Vosecha Tishmar Va'asisa means that you should keep your word. Keep your word. Right, you say something, keep it. That's one of the sources of, right, not violating the Dharim. Kasher nadarta l'Hashem alokecha b'ficha, kasher nadarta l'Hashem alokecha nadava, kasher dibarta b'ficha, just like you make a promise to God, kasher dibarta b'ficha, like you spoke with your mouth. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Vav says, b'ficha, that word is extra in the Pasuk, something about b'ficha zutztaka. So that teaches me that tzedakah is also a neder. So far, so good? So if I say, I will give tzedakah, I am now obligated as a neder that I have to give it. If I don't give it, I am a very bad Jew. Right? I should feel, right? Nedarim is one of the things that we feel really bad about, Yom Narayim time. That's why we have Hataras Nedarim and Kol Nidrei, etc. Right? So you should feel really, really bad if you don't keep your word to give tzedakah. Tzedakah is a neder. Point one. Now, we know that tzedakah is a neder based on this concept of b'ficha zu tzedakah. Taisus over there in Rosh Hashanah quotes that there's this word p implies that tzedakah implies tzedakah because there's a pasuk in Yeshayah in Perek Mem Hei that says yetzei mipi tzedakah, that tzedakah should come out of my mouth. So tzedakah is a neder. Now, let's go slowly. The basic principle of nedarim, just not to confuse you too much, but the basic principle of nedarim is that you have to utter it, articulate it, say it. No?
But what if you don't?
Let's say I don't, so then it's not a neder. Right? That's the basic rule of nedarim. So let's say I think, Heinz Bismargen, right? I think I'm going to not eat potato chips. I think potato chips should be forbidden on me like a carbon. Is it forbidden? No, because you have to articulate it to be a neder, correct? There's one exception in Judaism, or maybe more than one, but we'll talk about that now. Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Chavav says, Kol nidiv leiv olos, that when it comes to karbanos, so then a neder works even in the mind. Now, if anyone suffers from OCD, this is the worst thing to talk about. Right? Rahman al-Atlan. But the fact is, the Gemara says, Kol Nidiv Leiv Olos. Right? Nidiv Leiv means a neder of hektish. Right? Remember, Nidarim come in two forms. This is the first round in Nidarim, and Daf Beis Amud Aleph. There's a neder that I will not eat such and such. That's called Nidrei Isser. There's also a neder that I say that this animal is going to be forbidden. That's Nidrei Hektish. This animal is going to be like a carbon, I should say. That's Nidrei Hektish. Zot the Gemara, that Nidrei Hektish is Chal V'mach Shava. If I think it, it works. Okay? So far, so good? Hektish is Chal V'mach Shava. This is why, for example, we paskin that Nidrei Tainis, fasting, is like a carbon. Why? Because just like an animal, when the animal goes on the altar, what they do to the animal is they take the fat of the animal and the blood of the animal and they burn it, it gets lost, no? There's a diminishing of the fat and the blood. So also, not to put too much of a point on this, but I lost 5 pounds in this most recent fast day. It didn't last because it's all water weight. But I weighed myself right after the fast, so I was 5 pounds lighter. Felt really good. But
for 5 minutes.
But the fact is that when we fast, there is a miyut of our chilev and dam. No? When I fast, right? So the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying that my tainus is like a carbon. And in some of the tefillos on the tainus, we say this explicitly, no? That God, look at my fasting like a carbon. Therefore the halacha says, that because a tainus is like a carbon, so therefore what? Therefore, if I have a machshava that I'm going to fast, right? It's chal b'machshava. Usually a neder is only chal b'dibor. This is chal b'machshava. Why? Because it's like nidrei hektish. So far, so good?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we mentioned that people with OCD, this could be very bad. It happens in the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura already say, you know what? It's only that a neder is like, a neder of hektish is chal b'machshava, is only if you definitively thought it. In other words, let's say I think that I'm going to think. Right, that's called kvetching. Right, that's called epistemology. Someone asks, what's the difference between a philosopher and an epistemologist? The answer is that a philosopher thinks, and an epistemologist kvetches. Right? That's the difference. But if I think that I want to maybe accept on myself a fast day, that is not called a neder that's chal b'machshava. To be chal b'machshava, it has to be definitive. I have to say, I am definitely accepting the fast on myself. I have to say, this animal is definitely a carbon. Right? If I think that I want to, efshar ken zayin, maybe, that doesn't count. So far, so good? So the two things that we know, or the one thing that we know in Judaism that works b'machshava is hektish. Tainus maybe is like hektish. What about stucca? Is stucca hektish or not? This is a big question in the Rishonim. And there are two opinions about this in Reb Moshe Isserles in the Ramah. Did I give you that Ramah? I don't remember what I gave you already. The Ramah, I did not give you the Ramah, but the Ramah in Simen Reish Nun Ches, Se'if Yud Gimel, The Ramah writes, Choshav b'libo litein eza dover l'tzdaka. If I think I'm going to give tzdaka, chayiv l'kayim machshavto v'ein sarech amira. Okay? So now, for those of you who are sitting at a Simchas Torah auction, right? And sure, I want to honor the rabbi. Oh my God, what was that thing? Right? This is... But again, Lemaisa, the Magen Avraham already says it has to be that you thought about it definitively. So if I'm just ibetrachen, if I'm just thinking it over, that doesn't really count. Now, the Ramah writes, he continues, V'yesh Omrim, he has a second opinion. Okay, so don't get so nervous. V'yesh Omrim de'im lo hotzi b'fiv eino klum. V'ha'ikar kisvara havishona. Meaning, the main opinion, says the Ramah, is that a neder of tzedaka also works b'machshava. In other words, if I think I am going to give money to tzedaka, so I am now obligated to do so. That it, the Rambam has two opinions about this, Reish Nun Ches Sif Yud Gimel, but the main opinion is that it works machshava, like hekdesh, etc. Now, in part, this is because today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, as you remember from Tisha B'Av. So basically today, tzedakah in many ways is like a replacement of the Beis HaMikdash, etc. That's what we have. Fine. So far, so good. So now, point one that we're making is that tzedakah, we'll get to your question in a second, Ilana, tzedakah is a neder, it's a vow. Not only is it a vow, we learn from Beficha Zut tzedakah, but right, we seem to paskin that even if I'm just thinking, b'machshava, still it is going to be chal, still that is a valid oath for tzedakah, and we'll talk about the implications of this in a minute. Ilan has a question, then Frida.
It's just a general thing what you said about Nazarim. So if you say something, just a statement, but you don't say B'li Neder, but you're actually saying it, not just thinking it, you are like chayev on it?
Presumably, yeah. Again, what? It depends on the content, but it's a statement that I will do, that I will give tzedakah. If I say I will give tzedakah, certainly I'm obligated to do so. If I don't say B'li Neder. And that's why, by the way, here, let's just read one thing for a second. In Se'if Daled, somehow this ended up in a smaller font than the rest of the universe. Zarech li zaheh milidar, you have to be careful not to take vows. V'im poskim tzedakah, let's say the entire congregation is giving tzedakah. V'tzarech lifsaiki mahem, and you have to contribute with them. Yomar b'li neder, I should say I'm doing it without a neder. Now this means as follows, zok the shach. What this means is that don't just say nothing, right? Or don't just say that I will give tzedakah and think in my mind that it's B'li Neder. I have to explicitly say B'li Neder. Right? Mm-hmm. The Shach says that if everyone is giving tzedakah and I am supposed to, the expression Shulchan is tzarech lifsek imbahem, I'm supposed to give tzedakah with them, right? So I don't want it to be a vow because nedarim are terrible things. I think Gemara says ba'avon nedarim bonim katana mesim. Right, nedarim is really a very bad thing. Right, so that's actually according to some. I'm thinking about the bracha barasha patrani that you say to bar mitzvah. According to some, the bracha barasha patrani is that the kid isn't obligated for the father's vows anymore. Right. Because ba'avon nedarim banim ketanim mesim. The kids die if parents are negligent in taking vows properly.
What?
So according to that, the kid should say the barasha patrani. That's what the Lavosh writes.
How could the kid be responsible for the vows?
Again, so that's beyond the scope.
Okay.
Good question.
Okay.
Right? It's a philosophical question. Now, let's just talk about what. So I'm supposed to say b'li neder explicitly. Don't just say, I'll give tzedakah and think b'li neder. You have to say that I'm giving it b'li neder. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's what the Shach explains. Now, Frida, you had a question?
Well, supposing, the only obligation I have to give tzedakah is if I make a vow.
Okay. So important point. Okay. So we mentioned a few weeks ago that there is an obligation to give tzedakah every year of a bare minimum of a third of a shekel a year.
Oh.
Whatever that equals. Then we say that the practices that people give meiser or chomesh, it's that we spoke about that,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
But beyond that, okay. If I make a neder for tzedakah, that's tzedakah. Now, So next point. You know there's a minhag that Jews don't stay in for Yizkor if they have parents,
mm-hmm.
right? So where on earth does this minhag come from? So Dash was already thinking, Protestant 17th century or something, I don't know.
Maybe it's earlier. Old fashioned fear of death.
Maybe.
I know people that this bothers.
So people walk in. It bothers many people because especially in a shul like ours where Baruch Hashem, the overwhelming majority of our shul does not say Yizkor. Right? So you could have a really packed Yom Tov davening, and everyone packs out for Yizkor, and they're making noise in the social hall. Right? We know all the problems.
They're having a jolly old time socializing, right? Instead of at least being there in solidarity,
right,
with the people.
So I understand the complaint, but the minhag of Jews is that people walk out for Yizkor. The question is why. So Rav Soloveitchik explained as follows. He quoted from his father. Now, it says here in Shulchan Aruch that if everyone is giving tzedakah, you have to give tzedakah with them. So you know why we're walking out? We're cheap. That's why. We don't want to give tzedakah. Right? Because, right, everyone is... What's Yizkor, fundamentally? Yizkor is that the Eibishter Hashem should remember the neshama of my parents because I'm giving tzedakah. Right, that's what Yizkor is. No,
if you poll,
so if everyone is inside and they're all giving tzedakah, and you don't give, that's bad. And it says here in Shulchan Aruch, if they're giving tzedakah, you should give with them. There is a chiyuv. God will look negatively on you if everyone's giving tzedakah and you're not. So therefore, I walk out in order to show that, right. And therefore, if there's an appeal going on in Shul, you're not, you better give, right?
Take a poll.
Person with the living parents, they got the permission from the cottage,
and
they're
going to
be a slight
seaboard
now.
Right.
There's like a bigger...
I mean, there's other stuff in the heebie-jeebie world. Rav Soloveitchik explained Derech HaNigla, that the reason why people leave for Yizkor is because of this reason. Now...
I bet they... You poll the people out here in the hallway?
No one knows it.
I bet you.
Right? I was thinking... I think I once said this in the pre-Yizkor Drasha in Shul.
But nobody...
I said that... No, but no, everyone left, so no one heard it. Okay.
No, you give this year, and then they... You give the Drasha, and then they leave.
So now, let's talk further. So I should say that I'm giving Stoka Belin Neder. I should... Now, the most common issue that comes up in terms of... these nedarim for tzedakah is if you get an aliyah in shul, so the gabbai usually says, you want the long thing, and usually you have no idea what's going on, and you say, of course, like, you want the long thing, and then at the end of giving you the long thing and like going through, you know, all of your dogs and their relatives who you want to give a bracha to, so the gabbai says no, right?
It's
called
shnodah, and then, like, you know, so, by the way, Rav Soloveitchik was very machmir that the Misha Berachs that they give are only for tzedakah. We don't give brachas for free, ladies and gentlemen. A bracha, right, comes if you give tzedakah. You give tzedakah to the shul, so then we'll give you a Misha Berach. If you don't give your tzedakah, oh, you're going to get a Misha Berach, right?
Bless so, him out. Yeah.
So the Rav didn't like some people try to amend the text and they take away the expression that you'll give tzedakah, you take a neder, because it's a little
matana,
bit scary.
So then
yeah, babosha yitei matana, right? Not matana lebeis haknesses. The Rav was very makbid that you should try to say a matana for sure. One time the story goes that the Rav got an aliyah in yeshiva and the gabbai was making a misha berach. And the gabbai kept on saying, Bavor sheyite natana, whatever, to this and this and this. And so the Rav said, okay, fine. Then said, do another Misha Berach, do another one. Because the Rav was waiting for him to say the magic words, matana to the shul. Which the Rav felt...
What does that mean to the shul?
What?
What does that mean to the shul? As long as you get money.
The Rav felt that that's the real minhag of Misha Berachs, and he didn't want to change any of the minhagim. This story sounds like in Mipnine Herb, Nefesh Herb, one of the books about Herb. Right? But the fact is... whatever.
It's a private what?
Oh, you want to do you auction off Aliyah?
What?
Do you auction off Aliyah? I know
we don't auction off Aliyah in our show besides on Simchas Torah. Now, so when they give a... Now, we try not to take Nedarim, no? The Gemara at the beginning of Chulin, on Daf Beis in Chulin, understands a pasuk in Koheles. Toiv asher lo tidar, misha tidar velo tishalem. Right? Better not to make nedarim at all, because we're worried that if you'll make a neder, you might not keep it. So it's a machlokes hatanoyim, how to understand the pasuk. What about if I make a neder and I keep it? Is that good or is that not so good? Basically, paskin, don't make nedarim. Right? Even for a mitzvah, we paskin, don't make nedarim. The Rashba happens to have a chiddush. The Rashba says that for a mitzvah, you should make nedarim. So Rashba assumes that you should make nedarim to give to tzedakah. But we don't paskin like the Rashba. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, don't make nedarim for tzedakah even. Okay. So according to, so how do we make Mishabeach in Shul if we're not supposed to make Nedarim? Good kasha. So there is a whole literature in Poskim to answer this kasha. In other words, we're trying to have our cake and eat it. We want to be that you're going to try to give money, but we don't want it to be a full-fledged neder. So how do we do this? So we have a few options. Some people, instead of saying Bavur Sheh Nadar, I remember as a kid, we used to have a song, Bavur Sheh Nadar. It was like the official Simchas Torah song that we would sing whenever anyone did anything good. But we would say Bavur Sheh Yitain, not Bavur Sheh Nadar, which makes it not a neder. Now that's very questionable halachically. Rav Bloy points out in his book Tzedakah O Mishpat that halachically, if I say I will give, that also counts as a neder. So it's not so posh at that. So then others say, one second, who's making the neder over here? The halacha is, I have to make a neder myself, no? I can't make a neder with a shaliach. Wow. So the gabbai is saying, I'm going to give money. Well, big whoop, okay, let the gabbai give money. Right? So, Nedarim can't be done al yidei shlichus. So does that really work? In other words, in this case, the gabbai asks how much I want to give. Yeah. I say $1,000. I'm feeling very generous. And then, ha ha ha, gabbai, you have to give the money. You're the one who said it, not me. Right, that's like not exactly... It doesn't work that way so well. Moreover, if we paskin that nitrate stuck our chab machshava, like we said beforehand, right? It works just by thinking about it. So, when I'm up there and the gabbai is saying it, right, I'm thinking that I'm going to give the money l'cha'ora, right? So the neder probably is... So the question is, how come we make these mishabeirachs in shul when it seems to be a violation of this din? It's a good kasha. We try to have the word b'li neder thrown into the mishabeirach. That solves the problem, but... Nope. But l'cha'ora...
It's a fun, but I'm not up the neder.
Right. I think so.
Does that mean that the traditional text of the Mishabeach wrote about
what again?
Does that mean that the traditional text of the Mishabeach...
The traditional text of Mishabeach has serious problems to it. Also, the traditional text of Mishabeach is Ba'avor Shen Nodar in the past. It should really be Ba'avor Shen Nodar. That right now I'm taking the vow. Right? It's not something I did in the past.
So it's in the very recent past.
What? But it's not in the very recent past. It hasn't happened yet. I'm doing it now.
No, but you're not. You by instructing the gabbai to make the mishabeirach for you, you're making.
But I didn't say how much I was giving until he gets there. Maybe. I don't know. Now, let's go on. So we're saying that stucca is considered a neder, and stucca might be a super duper neder that's even chal b'machshava, and this can create issues. Let's read Simin Reish Nun Zayin Seif Gimel. Hatstucca harehi b'chala ha-nedarim. You see it right at the top. Stucca is part and part of nedarim. Rafikach ha-omer harei alai sela litstucca. The fellow says, I will give a coin to tztaka, or hare selazu tztaka, or I say this particular coin. Like in karbanos, I can say, I will bring a korban. I can say, this animal, Elsie, she's the korban. Chayiv litna la'aniyim miyad. I have to give tztaka when? Seichas. Right now. You have to give it right away. V'im icher, and if I delay, oiver bibal te'acher. Wow.
About how long?
Right? Shahari biyado litain miyad ba'aniyim mitsuyim hain. Period, comma, semicolon. On Shabbos, obviously, I can't give the money right now. I don't have my money with me on Shabbos, presumably. But the first possible time, I have to give the money for tzedakah. Let's say I get an aliyah on a Thursday. I get chopped with a bavur sheh nadar. I should technically chayiv litain miyad. That's what it says, no? That's what it says. Now, this is the rule of Baal Ta'acher. This is also Rosh Hashanah on Daf Vav. Baal Ta'acher means when I make a vow to give a korban, I have to give it right away, but we usually give you a time frame for right away that within three regalim, no? Wow. Within the Gimel regalim, that's when I have to bring my korban for Baal Ta'acher. That is true by karbanos. But Nedarim is even more than Karbanos. And Nedarim, you are chayiv to give the money at the first possible moment. Since there are always poor people around, I make a neder, I'm going to give tzedakah to the poor person. I am in violation of vow to acher if I don't give it right away.
But I thought you're supposed to give it to shul.
So now, it says, however, in Shulchan Aruch, if you keep on reading in the Mechaber, right, this is only tzedakah that I'm giving out myself. Ah. But let's say it's tzedakah that I'm giving to the Gabbai tzedakah.
Ah, okay.
So then I only violate Baal Ta'achir when the Gabbai demands the money from me. In other words, if I make an aliyah in Shul and the Gabbayim are batzlonish, and by the time they enter it into the computer and they send me the bill 6 months later, right, I have no obligation to give the Chaorah until right away. That's the din. I have no obligation to give it right away. Until they demand it from me, I don't have an obligation. Yeah.
Question. I don't know how it's done here, but let's say if you have, like, on Shabbos, have cards, and you have to put the thing in.
So because that's tzedakah that's done, like, in a public format, and there's, like, a gabbai who's in charge, so my obligation to... I violate Baal Ta'acher when the gabbai demands it from me. Until the gabbai demands it from me,
I'm on 36.
So I put on 36. So the gabbai will demand 36. It says in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, that if I make a neder in Shul at the appeal, I shouldn't assume that the gabbai heard exactly what I said and will demand it from me. I should go and tell him, by the way, I pledged $54. I should tell the gabbai so that the gabbai will know to come and demand it for me so I can make good on the deal. Again, there are different shitas in Rishonim in terms of Baal Ta'acher by tzedakah. The Mechaber over here is paskening like the position of the Rambam. Let me explain. The Rambam says that if I make a pledge to an ani, so I have to give it to him right away. No? A specific ani, I have to give it to the ani right away. If that ani is not around, I say I'm going to give it to Shmerel, the poor guy at the corner. Shmerel's not here, so then I don't have to give the money until Shmerel is here. Then he writes, Im Hisne, here. Wait, let me read it. If a guy says, I will give tzedakah in general, he doesn't say to any specific ani, so then the Rambam paskins, what you should do is, you should, within Gimel Regalim, you should separate the money and say this money will go to the aniyim. In other words, if I say I'm giving it to a specific ani, right? So if the aniyim are here, I have to give it right away. If not, so what I have to do, let's say I say in general, or I say a specific ani, and the ani is not here, zok the Rambam, what I have to do is I separate the tzedakah, but I don't give it. There's two elements of tzedakah, according to the Rambam. There is the hafrasha and the nesina. So the Rambam says I should separate the tzedakah and not give it, and that's what Shulchan Aruch paskins. According to Tosfos, in cases like that, you end up violating within Gimel Regalim. The Rashba has a different shita. There are three different shitas in Rishonim, but the Rambam's position is a position that's followed in Shulchan Aruch, is that you should be mafresh in that case. Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach says that you should be mafresh the money within three regalim, and once you're mafresh the money, you should try to be nosing the money within three regalim after the hafrasha. Right? Rav Sternbach holds within the Rambam, you have to be mafresh within Gimel Regalim. Once you're mafresh, there's no possibility of Baal Ta'acher afterwards. Once I separate the money, I should have a tzedakah account, basically. And in this account, I could put my money that will go. Right? In other words, sometimes I don't have aniyim, or there's aniyim around. I don't want to give to these aniyim. I want to give to the aniyim who I feel are really deserving. If I say, I'll give to any ani I want, so I violate Baal Ta'acher right away, because Chazal are worried that you're always going to say, oh, I don't want him, I don't want him, I don't want him. So the best thing to do is to set up a tzedakah account. Once I set up my account, I'm not in violation of Baal Ta'acher, because I put the money into the account. So I'm done with my Baal Ta'acher. That's what Rav Sternbuch said. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, even once it's in your account, you're not completely done with Baal Ta'acher, you still should get rid of it within three regalim. Yeah.
What happens if after I put in my account there's inflation or deflation, so that the oni is up getting...
The oni could end up getting a little bit wet. And a hanami. Like, but I said $100, I'll give $100.
It's not
the purchasing power. It's that unless I link it to the cost of living index and the whatever it says in your prenuptial agreements. Right? Fine. Now, that was just a pitch. Okay. Let's go on for a minute. So, tzedaka is a neder. Yeah, Ivana.
Can it count as part of your Meiser money, or is it separate?
So this should be separate from my Meiser money. My Meiser money is one thing, and now I take a neder beyond that, right? Because or else I'm not allowed to double dip, right? This is the halacha that Seinfeld taught us, that double dipping is usur, right? So you can't, right, use the same obligation twice. I can't say, oh, this is going to count for Meiser and for Tzedakah. We spoke about this way back when, in terms of using Meiser money for mitzvahs. That was the psak of the Ramah. There are other Achronim who disagreed with Ramah. We gave a whole shir about this probably a month and a half ago or so. But at least according to the Ramah, this is correct. Now, let's go on. So that's so then there are some who would say it's okay. There are Pashtas and the Ramah, he still should not do that. But some would assume the Maharam of Lublin, or something assumes that's okay, the Shach quotes. There are four different shitos in that shir, but right now we're trying to find. Now, so it says that tzedaka is like a neder, and therefore when I give tzedaka, like in the group, I should always say I'm giving it b'li neder. So Dachman Fregen, a good question. Why do you have to say you're giving it b'li neder? Why can't I just not say anything?
Yeah.
Right? So one answer would be, well, if you don't say anything, it might be chal b'machshava. Right? So, but if I say b'li neder, then it's not really binding. That's one approach. The Chafetz Chaim, though, in his Sefer Avas Chesed, and this is in Chelak Beis Perak Tes Zayin in the Haggah, the Chafetz Chaim has an expression that he says, Hadibor po'el harbe b'kedusha. U'kamosha kasuv, Ki biglal hadavar hazeh. The pasuk in the context of tzedakah says, because of hadavar hazeh, this thing, zok l'chafetz chayim, based on a tosefta, that it means ki biglal hadibur hazeh. God will give you brachas because of the fact that you said something. So the saying that I'm going to give tzedakah with a b'li neder is poel harbe b'kedusha, zok l'chafetz chayim, that adds a tremendous amount of kedusha. And the Chafetz Chaim quotes him a tosefta. The lashon of the tosefta is nos nimlo schar amira uschar maisa. They give me the reward for what I said and for what I did. And then the Chafetz Chaim goes on to give a bit of an explanation. He says like this: if I'm sitting in shul and I say I'm going to give $50 b'li neder, so my neighbor says, "Oh, Schwartz, I know what he earns. He's the rabbi." Right? Everyone knows what he earns. It's like public knowledge. He's giving $50. I'm going to give $250. Right? So...
B'li neder.
Right? So everyone is getting involved because I give. But if I sit there and I don't say anything at the appeal, so my neighbor isn't going to know that, right, I was thinking that I wanted to give more. And we want our neighbors to give tzedakah. We want to encourage them to give. So therefore, we want you to say that you're giving tzedakah, right? Even though I'm saying it b'li neder, that is still the proper way, because poyel harbe b'kedusha isn't just that it has like a heebie-jeebie supernatural effect, but it impacts on the community. People see that I'm giving, even though I say I'm giving it b'li neder, this is what the Chafetz Chaim said. He was Orthodox, right? Chafetz Chaim, right? The Chafetz Chaim says that l'maisa, it impacts a great deal. And he gets very upset at the people who sit silent and show during the appeal, and they don't want to give the tzedakah out loud. They're going to give tzedakah, they're not going to give it out loud. Okay? So far we're talking about tzedakah as a neder. Let's now talk about another aspect of tzedakah as a neder. So he said tzedakah is a neder, therefore I should say b'li neder, because I don't want to get stuck. Tzedakah is a neder, therefore there's baal ta'acher. We said tzedakah is a neder, that's chal b'machshava. And therefore, right, you get stuck. Look in Reish Nun Ches Se'if Vav. Hanoder tzedakah eino yachol achzer bo, ela im kein, what? Nish'al l'chocham v'hitir lo. Okay, what does that mean? That means that stuck is like a neder. So if I say I'm going to give it, so I can't back out, unless I go to the rabbi, and the rabbi does hataras nedarim. No? So this is a kula, because stuck is like a neder, so therefore you have an out. No, you could go to the rabbi, and say, Rabbi, I made a neder, you know, to give $100,000 to the shul, can you please be matir the neder? Now, what happens if you are matir the neder, if you're the rabbi? So first of all, the board fires you. No? You just cost us $100,000, you idiot. Right? Second of all, right?
If they find out about it.
They'll find out. The guy's going to go bragging. Oh, I have such a good rabbi. You see, right? Come on, it's Pasha. What?
Yeah.
Well, right, you could imagine this happening. So,
has it happened to you?
What?
Has it happened to you?
I'm still on the show. I haven't been fired yet. Right? Now, Zok, therefore, look in the Pisrei Tshuva. Pisrei Tshuva letter Ches, towards the bottom. The bottom of the first side. Letter Ches and Pisrei Tshuva. Nishar Lochachem. Ayin Shuvas Radvaz, Chelak Dalet Simin, Kuf Lamedal. The Radvaz we point out is Reb David Ben Zimra. He was the Rebbe of the Arizal. The Radvaz was a rabbi in Egypt. And he moved to Tzfat because he wanted to die in Eretz Yisrael. He's around 80, 85. He decided, okay, shine sight, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to die. His bad luck, he lived until the age of 110. His bad luck also, he moved to this town that's like a little backwater town. He thought no one's there, called this community at Tzfat. Kim Tzigin, all these young whippersnappers, moving to Tzfat, right? And they're like really young kids. The Arizal was like in his 20s. He meets the Radvaz. This is how we know the Arizal knew how to learn. Because his Rebbe is the Radvaz. The Rebbe knew how to learn. So Mustam and the Arizal knew how to learn also. Right? Boom. Now, the fact is, the Radvaz writes, Shehachokam hamatir neder zeh, ha-yochayiv nidoy. Okay? If you are a rabbi, and you... Right, again, the halacha is that tzedakah is a neder. Therefore, you could go to the rabbi, you could be matir neder. Put together a bez din of three people, hataras nedarim. But if you are matir this neder, you, rabbi, become excommunicated. Yechayiv nidoy. Why? Mipnei shemafsid es ha'aniyim. Because you are causing loss to the poor people, no? Umikomakayim. Haneder hutar, but the neder is still hutar. Right? The neder went away. In other words, even though you're a bad person, and I would say halachically, if you're chayiv nidoy, you're halachically a rasha for doing this, no? But still, a dayan, a rabbi who's a rasha in the sense of sitting on the bezin that's matir a neder for tztaka, still the neder. Is Hutar HaNeder, no? It's a very interesting situation that you have someone who's like a halachically a Rasha and he counts as a legitimate Dayan in this case, no? Why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because in some Haredi communities they invalidate all modern Orthodox Geirus because they assume that anyone who's modern Orthodox is by definition a Rasha and the Mela, your Geirus is no good. Don't think I'm joking. We've had cases of this in this town. Right? So now, right? So, I just think that this Radvaz, really, the argument of the Radvaz seems to be going against that Mahalach. Okay, but that's a longer share. So now, let's go on. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, Tzedakah is a neder. Therefore, in theory, I could go to a rabbi to be matir. The rabbi shouldn't do it. If he does this, he is excommunicated. No? But if he did it, he works. However, the Mechaber continues, Im higi al yad gabai, eno yachol lehisha el alav. I can only be matir neder before the money gets to the gabai. Right? Once the money is not in my pocket, so right, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I know I gave you a $3 million donation and you honored me at the dinner, but listen, you know, the rabbi was matir the neder. Please return the $3 million to me. And I still accept your honor at the dinner. That was a very nice thing that you honored me. But, like, no?
Before he gets there, you can't even go to the rabbi and ask.
You're not allowed to go to the rabbi because if the rabbi does this, he's a Russia.
In the first place, but he's not allowed to...
if it's Higi Aliyah Gabbai, once the money goes to the Gabbai, you can't go to the Rabbi. If the Rabbi tries to be matir, it doesn't help. The Gemara says that in the Dharma Daf Nuntes, that Truma also has a din of a neder. Right? But if it's Truma Biyad Kohen, if I already gave it to the Kohen, so then I can't go to the Rabbi to be matir neder. Right? Why? Because then it's not biyodi. The halacha is I can only be matir and neder when it's relevant for me, when it's my issue. Once it's not in my hand anymore, I'm not the bailim. I'm not, again, there are like five explanations in poskim for understanding this din, but this is the simplest one. I'm no longer the bailim on this neder, so I can't be matir neder once it's biyad gabai. Yeah. Sure.
Happens in the case if you give the money in a shekel.
So if I give him money, okay, so...
Because I heard recently this year...
The shekel is, how do I consider a check? Is a check...
cash, is a thing, until you have a 3-day
period. It's a good cash. Today, generally speaking...
And then also, it's in the control of, let's say, the Gaba.
Right.
Once you give it to...
Most poskim assume that for these purposes a check is considered like cash. It might not be considered cash for Pidyon HaBen. But
cash isn't considered like cash.
What?
Cash isn't considered like cash.
Cash is not cash for Pidyon HaBen.
Correct.
Although, this is, maybe someone requested that maybe we should talk about Ribbis next year in the Yeshiva. So when we talk about Ribbis, we'll have to figure out what is money.
Yeah, there's also a big problem with this. I remember hearing with, for instance, if you buy
Avonina. So yeah, but generally speaking, we're making on this. Again, I try to, I have to admit, I'm a machmir on this question. When I'm a Sadr Kedushin, I tell the guy to buy the ring with cash. I tell him not to pay on the credit card and not to pay with check. Technically, with
by the time he gets the wedding, he's done.
By the time I got the wedding, you're coin. The mice, it's a chumrah. It's a chumrah. Yeah. But I, you know what? For the wedding band, I think it's a good idea to be machmir.
What about the engagement ring? It's another story.
Whatever. Fine. I have some stories to tell, but not for now. So the halacha is. Now, it's considered a neder, and if it's a neder, I could be matir. Now, there is another din as follows. There's a din that amiraso ligavoa is like misiraso lehedyot. Okay, in other words, let's say I say this animal becomes a carbon. I say it, I articulate it. So, the halacha understands that the monetary ownership of this animal has been transferred. Usually if I want to transfer an animal, so I have to transfer an animal with a kinyan mechanism, let's say of meshitha or hagba, no? You pick it up, you pull it, right? Halachically, kinyan sudr would work, you know, but you need some halachic mechanism of transfer of an animal. That's a kinyan. It's absolutely necessary. But amiraso ligavoa is kimisiraso lehedyot dami. If I say I'm going to give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Beis HaMikdash, so just by our uttering that, it's kimisiraso lehedyot. There's a full-fledged kinyan that takes place, and the animal leaves my bailus. I'm not the owner of this animal. God is now the owner of this animal. The Beis HaMikdash is the owner of this animal. Right.
What
beautiful
if the animal gets loose and gores somebody?
You know what? So then it's a shar shall hektish that gores, and we have to open Bava Kama and figure out what's the din of a shar that's owned by the Beis HaMikdash that gores.
Yeah.
Right? It's not my ox anymore. I say nan and the kishkish. I'm sorry, it's not mine. Right? And, right?
Yeah.
That's what you do. Yeah.
Assumptions, you have a gavir who say they'll match the funds in the field up to, let's say, $1 million or something. I'm willing to give $1 million, but you only net 60 or 600 pounds. So can I give the lower amount, or do I say I've made
So again, that's basically like a neder on a tznai. Right? In other words, really there's a condition that's built in. If they get $1 million, I'll give $1 million. They get 800,000. So I can make a condition about everything in the world. I made a condition. That's fine. That's one trick.
But I was willing. Okay.
Right. Fine.
I was willing. You thought. You had a thought.
So now the halacha is that by heck, you see, the Gemara also tells us in Nedarim that we have a principle that toch kedei dibor is kedibor dami. That means if I make a statement, and within the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, right, or Shalom Aleichem Rabbi Vamori, right, within that amount of time, I back out. So Chazal say, you know what, we allow you, right, like when you're a kid in fourth grade, you have like games you play with backsies or no backsies, right? So, right, everyone knows what I'm talking about. So maybe in Australia it's different, I'm not sure. But the fact is that I back out with Toich Kedei Dibor. That's a halachic mechanism that we assume that you weren't so serious. Every time people, like, sometimes speak before they fully think it through, so we give you Toich Kedei Dibor to back out. But there are certain statements in this world that you are very, very serious about, that you would never make these statements without thinking it over time and time again.
Right,
and therefore, like Kiddushin and Gerushin, that's right, you don't joke about getting divorced.
There's jokes
because,
about...
Right, you don't do that, right? If you say it, you say it's Kiddushin, right? Even though we know of all, we all know those cases of, like, you know, joking around, throwing the cracker-jackering to the girl during recess. We all know of those cases, but the fact is, normal people don't joke around, right? It's a serious matter, and hektish is a serious manner, no? And therefore, Chazal say that the rule by hektish is that toich kedei dibor is not kedibor dami, and I can't back out. There are four exceptions, Nedarim daf pei zayin, four exceptions to the toich kedei dibor kedibor dami rule: mekadish, megaresh, makdish, and marah. Those are the four exceptions. Now, what that means is, right, we mentioned earlier that tzedaka is like a neder, and it might be like a neder of hekdesh. So now, can I back out toich kedei dibor? Hello. Right, it could be that the second I say it, right, I can't. You ever had an appeal? Right, or right, like, you know, and like you raise the card, and like you try, you're stuck. No, halachically, right, the tshuva of Veshav HaKoyen, look in the Veshav HaKoyen was Rebefal HaKoyen of Hamburg. Right, so he's related, right?
yeah.
All Germans are related, no? So the Ayin Shuv is Veshav HaKoyen Shenistapek Mishenadar Dover Letzdaka Im Yachol Lachzeh Bo Toch Kedei Dibor Olo Vehela De Gam Gabet Tzdaka Amirasa Gavoa Is Kimisi Raso Lehedyot Mamish Velachain Ein Yachol Lachzar Toch Kedei Dibor Kimo Gabe Hektish. I can't back out, just like we said by Hektish, just like it's Chalba Machshava, right? Because it's not only a neder, but it's like a neder of hektish. Okay, if it's like hektish, you can't back out at tzedaka, even toich kedei dibor. For the OCD among us, this makes it even more disastrous. But you should know that the Achrayim say only if it's a dibor of tzedaka can I not back out toich kedei dibor. A machshav of tzedaka, I can back out toich kedei dibor. Okay, fine. Now, let's just...
So we have those options walking off some keyboard. You say 100, then the next guy says 120, whatever.
Okay.
You already said 100. Does that count? You're only...
No. So the halacha is that there's an umdana by auctions that only one person gets it. Only the high... Right? Oh, that would be great for a show. But anyone who says anything, right, yes, then that would be the best deal ever.
Everyone would talk, though.
What?
Everyone would be quiet.
Right, so...
You sure you don't want drinking in Srilats and Chastora?
Huh?
If they would drink, maybe they would be a little less...
we could discuss it. Okay. Everyone has a praise. So just this last issue of Amiraso Ligavoa is Kimisiraso Lahedyot, right? That means that halachically, again, the Veshav HaKohen is saying, halachically, when I say this item at Staka, it now becomes the possession of the Ani. Just like when I say this animal is hektish, it's no longer my animal. Elsie now belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. When I say the money is tzedaka, the money is not my money. It belongs to the ani, right? And Ignatz over there can come and demand the money. They say, take out your wallet, give it to me. That's my $100 bill in your pocket.
If you say right? We're
going to
give it to him.
Let's say, if I say I'll give it in general so no one can demand it from me. But if I say I'll give $100 to Ignatz, so Ignatz has a right to come and pull the $100 out of my pocket.
Does that matter whether you say Harayla or
Harayzeh? We pass in both Harayla and Harayzeh, right? That, again, if it's Harayzeh, so then for sure, this cash is owned by Ignatz. But even if I say Harayalai, so now Ignatz has a right to $100 in my estate, so he could come over and demand $100 from me. So I might not have to give him this $100 bill, but I have to pay up right away. I have a binding obligation to Ignatz.
Does that mean
now,
he's not
called
Yaakov?
What?
Does that mean he's not called Yaakov?
Because I was Yotze already, that's right. But like what we said before for Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, if there's two elements of the Baal Ta'achar, there's the separating of the money, and then there's the actual giving it, no? So one could argue that in this case, even though halachically it belongs to him, but it might not be my mitzvah nesina, until he gets it. Until
if you put this together with the Kurnbuch, then with Kurnbuch,
yes.
Wrong.
Correct. We have to.
He disagrees, right?
I think that would be correct. I think what you're saying is correct. Now, this point, though, whether we pass an Amirasa or Gavoas, Kimisi Rasa or Hedyopait Stoka, is not at all clear. This is the big suffix in Poskim. And this relates to, can I change my Stoka? Now let's go like this. If I say I will give $1,000, right? So the Gemara says that before the money comes to the Gabbai, I can change it. At first I say I'm going to give $1,000 to one Stucca. Until the money comes to the Gabbai, I can really change it. I can say, no, I'll give it to here, not to here. Technically that's okay. Once the money comes to the Gabbai, you can change it. That's Erchen Davav. I give you the Gemara. In terms of changing the tzedakah when the money comes to the gabbai, so the gabbai and the people in charge of the town tzedakah, they have rights to change stuff very easily. In other words, the Zayin Tuvei Ha'ir or the Chever'ir, is like the rabbi in charge of the tzedakah fund, so they can decide, you know what, we said we're collecting for this, we're really collecting for that. But if they collect for a specific person, right, and we pass on Mirla Gavoyas Kum Sirasa Lahedyet, that means that the money belongs to that person. That means, let's say, we collect more money than is necessary, so then the money goes to that person's Yerushim. Or, right, let's say so-and-so only needs $100,000. And we had a really good campaign, Halavai. Right? Vamalocha Haisa Dayom Bahoser. Right? Amazing, great. So, in that situation, the money would have to go to them because, right, based on Ami Rasul Legovayas, Kamisri Rasul Ahedi, Mamish became theirs. There is a big discussion in Poskim whether we pass in this way or not. The last source I give you is Rebbe Kiva Eger, who quotes a whole suffix about this issue, and he quotes a ktsos that basically we paskin that we're not sure. We're mislipic. We're mislipic about if I say I'm going to give money to this particular ani, am I allowed to be chuzer and give it to a different ani? Meaning to say, when I say I'm going to give money to this ani, there are two aspects. There's the fact that I'm going to give money to any ani. So in that case, okay, I'm bound to give $1,000. I said I'm giving $1,000, I'm going to give $1,000. But I say I'm giving it to Ignatz, can I change and give it to Slobodan? Right? So, not clear, right? So that's the suffix in Rebbe Kiva Eger. There's no consensus that I'm aware of in Poskim. There's a stira in the Ktsos about this Nakud. There's a stira in the Chsam Sofer. There's a huge literature about this in terms of changing. It's not at all simple. So this is just what I wanted to discuss with you this evening, the last year about Stucca. I really enjoyed learning Kofa Stucca with you guys. I thank you very much. Again, it's a topic that I'd like to return to at some point because there is much more that needs to be said. But I wish you all a rewarding and productive end of the summer. And whatever, Mi'etz Hashem, Mashiach should come and it'll be great. Okay, thank you.
Have a great trip.